Hey, this is Jeremy Isaacs, lead pastor of Generations Church, where we want to live like it matters. For more information about our church, you can visit us at g.church. We hope you're encouraged by today's message. Thanks again for listening.
Today, as we look to the final question that we're going to observe, I encourage you to grab your Bibles and let's go to the book of Genesis. It's the first book of the Bible, first book of the Old Testament. And you got an app on your phone you can follow along as well if you don't have a printed Bible. If you want a Bible and don't have one, we've got one at the Information Center we'd love to give you for free on your way out today. But Genesis chapter 3, this was the story that we looked at as we were talking about how to overcome sin and temptation. We're not going to talk about that specifically today, but we're going to continue out of that story. And I will tell you that this week I kind of wrestled with where to land this series. I actually was going a different direction, completely different direction. And then early in the week, as I started preparing and praying, as I do every week for you and for our time, I felt like, okay, I think I want to go maybe another way, and started working on that, and it still just didn't feel right. And so all week long, early in the week, I was really struggling, wrestling with it. And so one night this week, Corey and I went on a walk in our neighborhood. We try to do that a couple times a week. And I was telling her, man, I can't get settled. And she said, well, what are you thinking? So I kind of laid out for her each of the three or four thoughts that I had, and this is the one that we landed on. She said, I think that's it. And I don't know about you, but the voice of the Holy Spirit often sounds like my wife. And so I felt like that's confirmation from the Lord. And so today we're going to look at this question that's found in Genesis chapter 3. Beginning in verse 8, it says this. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, man, wouldn't that be awesome right now? So when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord called to the man, where are you? And he replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. Who told you that you were naked? That's not our question today. The Lord God asked him, have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat? And the man replied, it was the woman you gave me who gave me this fruit, and I ate it. Then the Lord God asked the woman, what have you done? The serpent deceived me, she replied. That's why I ate it. Now, it's interesting to me how this passage ends. It ends in a way or a pattern of what we do when we are confronted with sin or anything that makes us feel guilty. We often pass the blame, don't we? So God calls out to humanity and he says, hey, what have you done? That's not our question today, but he says, what have you done? And immediately Adam said, well, it was this woman you gave me. It was her fault. This is actually your fault. You gave her to me. And I don't recommend that. And so then Eve said, no, it was the serpent. The serpent deceived me, passing blame, pointing at someone else rather than taking ownership of our own decisions. And so the question that I actually want us to look at today was the first question in the passage that we read. It was the question, where are you? Where are you? God came looking for Adam and Eve. He came looking for his created humanity. And there's this idea that he was in the cool of the day, the cool evening breezes. Perhaps this was something that they did every evening. I told you that Corey and I like to go on walks in our neighborhood. Perhaps this is the pattern of things that were happening here in this relationship between God and his created humanity. And so he comes looking for them and he can't find them, kind of, right? You know, I've said this before, but when our kids were very young, they liked to play hide and seek. And the challenge for them, because they're very competitive, I don't know where they get that, but the challenge for them is they always lost because I'm awesome at it. And so, okay, so here's what I would do. I would hide and I would say, you guys go count. They would go upstairs. They would count. I would get in the car and leave the house. They could never find me. I'd run my errands and I'm kidding. I wouldn't do that. But what I would do is I would try to hide in places they couldn't find me. Some of you like hide in your recliner. No, I'm going to make my kids search. And so I would hide in really amazing spots that they couldn't find me until they would begin to get discouraged and they were trying to figure out like, where is dad? And all of a sudden it was like, I can't find him. I'm going to give up. And they're like, dad, where are dad? I don't want to do this anymore. And all of a sudden I'd kind of throw my leg out from behind the couch or, I'd, you know, shake the curtains that I was hiding behind. And then they would rush to the sound or rush to what they saw. And then they would yell out, I found you. Well, did they really, you know, or did I allow myself to be found? Well, that's exactly what God does with me and you. The prophet Jeremiah in his book in the Old Testament, he says, when you search for the Lord with all of your heart, what? You're going to find him. It actually says it this way. It says that I will be found by you when you search for me with all of your heart. There is this idea that God is not hiding from you. He is revealing himself to you. But where are you and I looking to find him? And I think you can find them in a number of places. But today is not really about finding God as much as it is about God finding you. Where are you at in God's pursuit of you? My pastor used to describe it this way, that there is a spiritual continuum. There is this like spiritual journey or spiritual line. And if you really look at that line, all of us start on one side of the line, and there is a chasm. There is a gap between us and God because of sinfulness. And that chasm is not one that you and I can cross on our own. No amount of good works or good deeds, no amount of like activity in the church or in faith, no matter how much you read your Bible on your own, you and I cannot span that gap. God knew that. And so God came to humanity. He sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, which we'll talk about in a moment, to span that gap for us. And here's what I love, this picture that we see in Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve, if I'm on this line, I'm playing the part of God here just for a second, just for a visual effect, but Adam and Eve are over there, and at the beginning of Genesis 3, we see their sinfulness and their deception that they bought into and their disobedience. And what is the first thing that we see from God? He comes to sinful man. It's a beautiful picture because there's no way that Adam and Eve could then get to God because of their sinful behavior. So immediately upon Adam and Eve disobeying the words of God, and here's what he told them. Remember, he said, if you eat from the tree that I told you, you will surely die. And the serpent tries to deny that, cause doubt in that, deceive them in that. But what we know from the book of Romans is that the wages of sin, the cost of sin is death. It wasn't necessarily physical death. It was the death because of sin. And what does God do? God immediately moves towards sinful man to span the gap. And God comes looking. And when he comes looking, he says, where are you? Now, where were they? They were hiding. How crazy is it to think that we could hide from God, right? That we could actually hide from the God who knows all, sees all, is all powerful, like that we could hide from God. And yet that's what Adam and Eve tried to do. They hid among the trees in the garden he created, right? Let me just remind you of what you probably already know, but perhaps you don't always live out. Hiding from God is a fruitless endeavor. Like it's a wasted effort. It's not actually going to solve any of your problems because God always comes calling, where are you? It's similar to what we see when Jesus is on the earth and he's leaving 99 to go and find one in the story that he tells us. Like the shepherd leaves 99 to go and find one who is lost. That makes no sense to us. That's bad math. That's bad business ownership that you would neglect and leave 99 to go and find one. But God doesn't like separation from even one of his children. And the one doesn't matter unless the one is somebody you know. Like the one doesn't really have any value unless you're the one or your son's the one or your friend is the one. Then you're thankful for a father who would leave 99 to go and find the one because he doesn't want separation from even one of his children. And then we read in the Gospel of John that God spanned the gap because Jesus, he was God and he was with God in the beginning, in all the things that were created, Christ was a part of that. And then what we read later in the Gospel of John chapter 1 is that God allowed Jesus to come. The Message paraphrase says that he put on skin and moved into our neighborhood, right? What he did is he made his dwelling among us. Christ came to be with us, to be one of us. That's how God demonstrated his love, just like he demonstrates it here in Genesis 3. Sin of man, God's grace, God's approach, God's pursuit. So anytime the enemy would try to convince you, and I'm not even preaching on sin today, but anytime the enemy would try to convince you that you have gone too far from the grace of God, that is a lie from the enemy. God's grace and God's mercy and God's forgiveness and God's love has always been demonstrated by the Father from the very beginning of the sinfulness of man. And we have to keep that in mind. And so what happens here is we see humanity doing another fruitless thing and trying to hide from a God that you can't hide from. In fact, the psalmist David says this in Psalm 139, verse 7. He says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. What the psalmist is saying is you cannot hide from God. You cannot escape God. You cannot run from God. No matter how much you try to, it doesn't work. And yet over and over and over in our lives, that's what we attempt to do, isn't it? We just try to escape from God, hide from God. Or perhaps you might say it this way. This is the way we talked about it on our walk the other night, Corey and I. Why is it, if you don't want to ask the question, where are you? Maybe you would ask the question this way. Why is it that we are not living as close to God as we should? Why is it that we are not walking with him in the cool of the day? Why is it that we are not having this intimate, personal, passionate relationship with him, maybe like we used to, or maybe like we long to? Why are we not experiencing that kind of depth in our relationship with him? Where are you today on the spiritual continuum? Well, I think that there are three specific things that I see in the patterns of humanity and the patterns of my own life that cause us to try to hide from God or run away from him. And the first of them is what we see here in this story in Genesis 3. It's shame. Shame. What happens is we sin, we make mistakes, we have these things we're not proud of, and so our shame causes us to run away, to try to hide from God, to try to get away from what we feel, that guilt that we feel. You know, Adam said, I was naked. He said, who told you that you were naked? They had been naked the whole time. What did they experience? They didn't experience a new physical nakedness. They felt a spiritual vulnerability. They felt a difference of because of their disobedience to the intimate personal relationship they had with God that was not separated by sin. It was unencumbered by anything. All of a sudden, they felt that gap and they recognized shame and guilt for the first time. It was the death that God had proclaimed about the fruit of that tree, what it would produce. And you and I have a tendency when we make mistakes to feel shame and guilt. I know I do. We make a mistake and we immediately go, oh man, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I think, like, what has happened? I'm better than that. I know better than that. God's forgiven me and redeemed me. Why am I doing those things? And we have this guilt and this shame and this pattern. And so what do? We immediately pull back from God. We're like, oh man, he's given me so much grace. He's forgiven me so many times. I've prayed for this so many times. Why in the world would God forgive me again? And we pull back and we try to hide. We pull back and we don't experience the fruit again of his grace and his mercy because of our shame. But I want to remind you what it says in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. It says, so now there is no condemnation. Some translations talk about no guilt or no shame. No condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Here's what you need to know. The enemy would love to make you think that you are still guilty even after you've confessed to God. So the first thing that you need to do when you recognize that you've fallen short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3, you've done something you knew you shouldn't do, like immediately confess that to God and find his forgiveness there. But as soon as you do that, the enemy wants to keep you bound in your guilt and your shame because you are no longer bound in your sin. The sin has been forgiven. The only thing the enemy has left to try to hold you is the shame and guilt that you feel, the condemnation that you might feel because of what you previously did. But God has forgiven you of those things. And so you are set free from the shame or the guilt that you might feel. And so we've talked about this. We talked about this a few weeks ago. You got to confess it to God to find forgiveness, but you confess it to other people perhaps to find healing. Now, not everybody needs to know your junk. You don't need to tell everybody. I'm not going to do this today, but we're not going to go like, hey, AI has helped us, technology's improved. We're going to actually display up here all of your dirty, rotten secrets. Some of you would immediately be like, oh, got to get to work, got to leave. It's really too hot in here and you're out, right? Because we don't want to be confronted with the things that we used to do, who we used to be. But there are one or two people perhaps in your life, people in your G group, people on your team, people that you do life with, that you can trust with the things that you say, hey, this is what my struggle has been historically. These are the things that I did confess to God. I'm not proud of them, but I want you to help me to find freedom from these things. Because if not, the enemy will try to use them against you to keep you bound in them. But what we recognize in Romans chapter 12 is that we are set free, what? By the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. and by the word of our testimony. Right? You've already been forgiven by the blood of the Lamb, but it's the word of your testimony that I think unlocks your freedom, that helps you to walk in victory because there's somebody else that knows your secrets. You don't have to feel shame anymore or guilt anymore because of what you've done. You are a new creation. We're going to celebrate that in baptism in just a few moments. And so I'm thankful that shame doesn't have to be something that holds you back. But often shame is one of the reasons we hide from God. We pull away. We don't experience all that God has for us because of shame. Maybe for some of you, it's not shame. It's sorrow. It's hurt. It's pain. It's something that you've experienced. Perhaps it is the pain that you inflicted upon yourself because of some of your misdeeds. It was something that you did. Now, here's what you need to know. We believe that God forgives you, but maybe you still have to pay the consequences for what happened. This is a terrible example. I know that even before I say it, but I've been saying it for years, so I'm going to stick with it. If you kill a guy, God's going to forgive you if you ask for it, but you're still going to jail. Like, there are earthly consequences for the decisions that you make. The heavenly consequences, God takes care of those. But there are some things that you may have to do to make that right here on the earth. And so maybe it's sorrow or pain or hurt that you have inflicted upon yourself. And so because of that, even though you may not feel shame anymore, you just the pain and the hurt causes you to stay away from God, to pull back from God, to not walk in the relationship that he desires to have with you. Or maybe it has nothing to do with what you did. It's what somebody else did to you. It's sorrow, hurt, or pain that they inflicted upon you. And because you walk in that, because you experience that, because it cut you so deep, you pull back and because you just don't know how to even approach God with it. Maybe you've already prayed about it. You've thought about it. You just don't know where you even begin. And unfortunately, what's happened over the years, we've seen patterns and just over and over and over again, what happens with people sometimes is that when they experience pain or hurt, instead of running to God, they run away from God. Instead of running to God's people, they run away from God's people. Instead of leaning into Christian community where they could find healing, they pull away from it because they're just not sure how to even talk about it. And let me just say to you that that's not what you need to experience the opposite of that. Run to the people of God and allow God's healing to be poured out upon you. This is what we read in Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. We quote this verse of scripture and even part of this verse of scripture a lot because we want to be reminded that sometimes when we feel the most down in it, when we feel the most crushed by it, and we feel like, man, is God anywhere near? That's the place God is the closest to us. You don't have to feel alone. And sometimes the expression of God's presence is in the presence of somebody right beside you. He sends a brother or a sister. You're sitting in a group meeting. I went down for prayer during our 8:15 service to pray for somebody I love, and I was moved to tears as people prayed for me. I'd already prayed everything I could think, and I had prayed all day and this morning, and I prayed with somebody else in the lobby a few minutes ago about the same thing, but I just received prayer, and it was the closeness of God's presence through the power of prayer in somebody else's words. And I'm thankful that God is able to do that through other people. So when you feel sorrow, lean into God's people. And it could be that in leaning into God's people, you find God's presence. You don't have to hide from him. You don't have to move away from him. Move towards him. And here's the third. Maybe it's not shame. Maybe it's not sorrow. Maybe you feel just stalled out. We run away from God. We hide from God. We move away. We miss out on all that God has for us, perhaps the closeness, the intimacy of relationship that he desires for us. We just, you know, we've been around this thing for a while. Some of us, right? We've read the book. We've prayed the prayer. We've been in church. We served on the team, did the thing. And it's like, what do we do now? We just kind of feel stalled out. We just feel like I'm just kind of, you know, spinning our wheels. We don't feel as passionate as we used to feel when they sing and they're worshiping. Maybe we sing. Maybe we close our eyes. Maybe we lift our hands, but sometimes it just feels like we're going through the motions and we just feel like we've stalled out and we're just not really sure what it is that we're supposed to do next. Proverbs 3:5-6 reminds us that we can trust in the Lord with all of our heart and Don't depend on our own understanding, but seek his will in all that we do, and he's going to show us the path to take. He gives us wisdom. He helps us to know what to do next. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He illuminates the path that we should take. And that's not just for new believers, and that's not just when you're trying to decide which job to take. That's just, what do I do next in my faith journey on this spiritual continuum? What is the path forward in my journey with you, God? How do I make sure that I am still in pursuit of you and walking in closeness with you in the way that you desire? And so I would simply say it like this. If you feel stalled out and you don't know what to do, just do the next right thing in front of you. Until you hear God specifically say, go this way, don't go that way, do this, don't do that. You can hear God say those things. But if you're just trying to figure out, like, what's the next thing for me? Just do the next right thing in front of you until you hear God speak something different. I'll give you some specific examples. Maybe these are very, very kind of juvenile for you, or you're like, I've already got that. But let me just give you some specifics. Maybe you should look at the other part of Psalm 139 and say, God, search my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. God, help me to evaluate my anxious thoughts. Like, just see, is there anything that I need to confess? Is there anything that I've allowed to get in between me and God? Do I need to confess to God, or maybe confess to someone else? And don't allow your tenure in the church, your length of time in and around faith, to cause you to think that you're exempt from confession. Like, lean into confession. You've got more self-awareness, perhaps, that you should lean into. God, here's what I've allowed into my life, just in little ways, but I don't want anything to become a big thing. I don't want the little foxes to spoil the vine. I want to make sure that I get to those things before they're big things. So I want to confess to you, God. Read the Bible regularly, not as a to-do list, not to check the box, but because of the relationship that you desire. And if you're trying to figure out, like, how do I make sure that it's fresh and it's new, maybe get a different translation of scripture than you've ever read. Maybe you've always read the New King James. You've read the NIV. Go pick up a study Bible that's like ESV or something else that, like, will help you with that if you're trying to figure, but just a new translation. So maybe the words are just a little bit different and you can't just read it going through the motions, but maybe there's something specific that in the richness of the word choices that it speaks a new truth into your heart. Just read the Bible regularly. Commit to pray every day, every single day. God, I just wanna speak to you. I wanna hear from you. God, I'm gonna commit to pray. Attend church weekly. Like, make it a priority. Join a G group to find that kind of community with people that you can confess things to or do life with or have fun together with people that are in pursuit of the same things that you're in pursuit of. Serve regularly. Jump on the G team. This is not an advertisement, but jump on so that you're serving, you're giving of yourself, your time, your talent, your treasure for the sake of other people and kind of living this different kind of transcendent life that is for the sake of others. Give faithfully. We talked about that a little bit last week. Just allowing your heart and your treasure to be aligned with what God is calling you to. Invite someone to church. I promise your church experience will be different when someone you invited is sitting right next to you. Invite someone to church. Share your faith. Ask God to give you the opportunity to share your faith this week in church, some in the community somewhere. That you just open up and have the opportunity to tell your faith story. These are not God's presence, but they are things that you can do to seek his presence. To come out of hiding, to rid yourself of shame, to work through your sorrow, or to get moving again when you feel stalled out. About 10 or 12 years ago, I read a book and there was this line in the book. And I've just kind of kept it in my mind. I refer back to it often. This is not the question we're asking today of where are you, perhaps. It's another way to ask it. But for some of you, this might be a question that helps to get you moving again. If you are not as close to God as you used to be, who moved? If you're not as close to God as you were before, who moved? Some of you, your faith story, your testimony, the spiritual continuum, you are as close to God as you've ever been. Keep going. We're cheering you on. We're wanting to walk this journey out with you. We're so proud of you. But for others of you, perhaps you're like, man, I just don't know if I'm as close to God as I used to be a year ago, 6 years ago. When I first got saved, perhaps I felt like maybe I was even closer to God than I am now. Maybe that was the emotions you felt or the things that you were doing, but maybe it's a real question. But if you aren't as close to God, who moved? I promise you, it wasn't him. I promise it wasn't him. He's been coming at you the whole time. So what about you? What about me? What are those things that maybe we've allowed into our life that have caused us to step away, to hide? Guilt, shame, sorrow, sadness, stalling out, whatever that looks like. If you aren't as close to God as you were before, who moved? So here's what I want you to do. I just, right there where you're at, I just want you to bow your head just for a moment. Nobody's looking around. And if you came today and you're preparing to be baptized in just a few moments, I'm gonna dismiss you in just a second. You and any of your friends and family members that are here to celebrate with you today. And maybe today you came and you weren't prepared to be baptized, but you want to be baptized. Today's your day. We would love the opportunity to celebrate with you, and we'll give you all the things you need to make it a great day. But before we get to that moment, right where you're sitting, if you would say, you know, Jeremy, for me, I know that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I need God to forgive my sins and to be the Lord of my life. I want to change my eternity, change my spiritual journey today. If that's you, would you just lift your hand right where you're at? I want to pray for you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Anybody else? Now, if you would say to me, Jeremy, for me, I'm just kind of hiding from God, kind of running from God. I mean, I'm in relationship with him, but either because of shame or sorrow, or I just kind of feel stalled out. Like I'm not as close to him as I should be. And I want to do whatever I can to move towards him. If that's you, would you lift your hand? A lot of us today. Just want us to pray together. In just a moment, we'll dismiss you if you're going to be baptized. But God, I thank you right now for those who lifted their hand today to acknowledge their need for you to be the Lord and Savior of their life. God, I thank you that you save lost people like me. And I thank you now for those of us in this room right now who have just confessed our need for you. And if you did raise your hand, I encourage you right now just to confess with your mouth. God, I need you to forgive me. I need you to save me today. And the moment that you confess your need for him, we believe that he will do it. He's faithful and just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. So God, we celebrate now with those who have made that decision. And so God, now I pray for those who say, I'm kind of hiding from God. Maybe I'm walking away from God in some respects. I'm not as close to him as I should be, as I want to be. God, would you help there to be nothing in between them and God? Whatever the enemy has tried to pull them away with shame, sorrow, hurts, pains. Maybe they just feel like they're going through the motions. God, would you just re-energize their relationship with you? Help them to acknowledge their need for you to be close and near every single day. And we just stand against the enemy and all his tactics and tools and lies to try to deceive us. God, we claim victory for every single person in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thanks again for listening. If today's message was an encouragement to you, we invite you to share it with your friends and family. Maybe subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. It just helps us spread the word about what God's doing here at Generations Church. For more information about the church, visit us at g.church. Have a great day, and God bless.